Look, if you're breaking the rule, Doctor Who shows up in his trench coat and his monocle and says, "Jolly gee whiz, you can't do that, Governor."
You are listening to the It's Not Real Magic podcast. This episode was recorded February 22nd, 2021, and published February 23rd, 2021. Welcome to the It's Not Real Magic podcast. The question of the day is, what is your favorite fruit? I'm Kevin. My favorite fruit right now is freeze-dried apples.
My name is Jacob, and my favorite fruit right now, and I have to go with, is grapes.
I'm Alexander, and my favorite fruit has been, and will probably always be, watermelon.
I'm Lucas, and while I did just eat a bowl of grapes, I'm actually going to go with pears. Underrated fruit.
Disgusting.
Dude, it's a juicier apple. It's a juicier,
it's so
sweeter apple.
Mealy and like just it turns your teeth and your tongue. It's just like it's some weird texture going on with those pears, man. It's like a nasty apple.
I will say this. I think pears are maybe like in my top 10. Don't know if they quite make the top 5, but they're not terrible.
If you get a mealy pear, it's not very good.
They're all mealy.
I've had some non-mealy pears.
Some. So it's a hit and miss if you get a decent pear or not.
So right, I would side with you.
My favorite pear is the juicy pear Jelly Belly jelly bean.
Well, those are pretty good.
Jacob, are you going with your grapes, like green grapes, red grapes? What are we talking about with grapes?
We've had some really good green grapes recently. And so I've really been enjoying those. And so that's like, I look forward to eating them. It's like, ooh, green grapes, yum. Where I think with most fruit, it's just like, yep, this is, I need to eat this type thing.
Frozen,
I would say, you know, apples
or
would be up there.
Room temp.
But, definitely cold grapes. Cold grapes are the best.
Okay.
Wait, cold or frozen?
Cold.
Okay.
In the fridge.
I didn't know if you were like, if you took the blueberry route with it, it's like, oh, this is better frozen than cold. I don't know.
No.
Has anybody here had frozen grapes?
Oh, yeah.
Recently?
Nope.
No.
Nah, I sure haven't.
We did buy a bag of frozen strawberries at Sam's Club, thinking foolishly that we would make smoothies, which we never made. So I have been eating just frozen strawberries. Not the best.
Well, man, you need some strawberry shortcake.
There are a lot of good things you can do with frozen strawberries other than eating them.
Like throwing them at people?
Home defense.
Making them unfrozen and then eating them.
That takes too long.
But at that point, it's not a frozen strawberry. It's just a strawberry. See, I can win your semantic debates. I can retreat into my little mott, get out of the Bailey.
Semantic debates could be a band name.
That's probably why the band would break up, is over our semantic debates.
So my topic for today is daylight saving time, or daylight savings time, or summertime. That's really a level of pedantry even I don't care to get into. So I was at work last week, you know, as one does when one is gainfully employed. And I was reviewing some code that I was writing, and I realized that we had to work with some dates that were being stored. And the problem is that we were storing the date and we were storing the time, but we were not storing the time zone. So I had to guess as to whether or not a given time was an Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time or Central Time. And so I decided, since the server was located in Tennessee, how does Tennessee do daylight savings time? And they follow it the same way as a lot of other states do. Except in 2019, they passed Tennessee House Bill 247, which contains provisions for Tennessee permanently moving to summertime.
Does that mean they don't have winter?
It's Tennessee. I don't think they ever have winter.
That's the next level play. Why didn't we do that in Michigan years ago?
Well, see, here's the thing. They can't do it right now because you are federally not allowed to.
Mm-mm.
It's a USC, 15 USC section 260A governs the advancement of time or changeover dates. And basically states have two options. It's either, well, either you follow DST according to these federal rules or you do not follow it at all. But you cannot always be on summertime. But it's not just Tennessee that's done this. There are a bunch of other states, South Carolina, Oregon, Florida, Delaware, Louisiana, Maine, Utah, Washington, Wyoming, who have moved to go to permanent summertime as soon as they can. Some of them have additional provisions of like, well, we'll do it if the states around us do it. And I'm thinking to myself, this seems a little bit silly. Like, at some point, why don't you just say, well, rather than moving the clock 1 hour forward all the time, just get up an hour earlier.
It's hard to do.
Because you have to have everyone get up an hour earlier, and everyone's not going to do that.
So you just say, screw it, we're going to do it. What are they going to do? Sue us?
I mean, they might.
Like, if Tennessee decides, no, our 8 o'clock is now 9 o'clock, and we're not going back, what are they going to do?
I don't know. Send it through the Supreme Court and say it's unconstitutional.
I think there's a provision in this in the U.S. code for who enforces violations. The Secretary of Transportation or a duly authorized agent may apply to the District Court of the United States for the district in which such violation occurs.
Okay, and what is the penalty? Do they find them every day that they are on the time zone? They said, hey, you can't be on that time zone.
You know, I didn't look at the code to see if it specifies that.
They kick them out of the union.
It's like, no, you're not allowed to do that. What if I do it? Well, you're not allowed to do that. But what if I do it? What's the penalty? But you're not allowed to do that. Okay, I'm just going to do it.
No. I'm with Jacob on this. I think this is the secession plan. I think as soon as Texas tries to switch to permanent DST, it's over.
Look, if you're breaking the rule, Doctor Who shows up in his trench coat and his monocle and says, jolly gee whiz, you can't do that, Governor.
I think that's if, like, Scotland tried to change their time zone. I don't think that applies to the U.S.
Does the U.S. have their own Time Lord, their own Time Police?
I believe that is called the Avengers.
Oh!
Did you not see Endgame?
It's Doctor Strange, right? Doctor Strange is the policeman for time.
Doctor Strange shows up, puts his hand like he's catching a football, and then puts you in time jail. Who's the wide receiver that used to put his hands together after every touchdown?
Put his hands together?
Like where your thumbs and your index fingers are touching.
Yeah, and you kind of make a triangle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember what you're talking about.
Like Illuminati?
He was a huge fan of Zelda in the Zelda series. And so he was doing the Triforce.
I thought he was part of the Illuminati.
No, he would never be that obvious. He was a Zelda fan.
Well, if you're that obvious, then people will discount you. And that means you are.
Does this have to be an either or? You can like Zelda and also be in the Illuminati.
Is that how we define people? They're either in the Illuminati or they're out of the Illuminati.
And can you be former Illuminati?
Or once you're in, you're always in.
Do you have to be born into it or can you apply?
I think you get headhunted.
No, it's like a frat house or something like that. Like you have to like apply and then like go through.
Oh, I've seen the Social Network.
Right. Yeah.
I think I'm the wrong species to join though.
Mm. Your scales haven't come in yet?
I'm still covered in flesh. I don't think I meet the qualifications.
I don't need to think about that for too long.
So getting back to the government and how Big Daddy Joe Biden and his big government is squashing all the little mans and telling them what to do with their time. What was the end point of this?
Did you ever figure out what to do with your programming?
Well, so there's an official list of time zones that I have access to, which sounds really weird. There's an internet authority.
Hold on. Do you have access to time zones that I don't?
Is it a list of official time zones or an official list of time zones?
It is an official list of time zones, not a list of official time zones.
Okay.
And the problem is that there is not a Tennessee specific time zone to use. There are some cities, like there's one for New York. There's also one for Detroit. Even though right now they both follow the same time rules. So I'm sitting here thinking, how on earth do I write this code so that if 5 years from now, Tennessee switches, this will behave correctly? I don't think I can do it. I think this is just my life. I am now going to have to become the time zone guy at work. It's like Y2K, but something bad might actually happen.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
Kevin, a wise man named Mordecai once said, "Perhaps you were born for such a time as this."
That's an out of this world pun.
I don't have a comeback.
I don't know if he actually said that. I think I butchered the quote.
You got the gist, right?
You got the gist.
It's the NLT.
You got...
Okay. So one last thing before we get to my topic is, Kevin, I feel like other coders and programmers have probably come across this same issue. You're not the first one to deal with this. So wouldn't they have like produced a white paper on like, this is how you deal with this situation?
Have you even checked Reddit?
I have not checked Reddit.
Have you checked Stack Exchange?
I would never go to Reddit for programming advice. I would check Stack Exchange. I haven't yet because I'm going to guess that the answer is, oh yeah, they'll get around to updating the official list. And then at some point, the language maintainers will get around to updating the language and implement the official list. And at some point, our company will get around to upgrading to that version of the language, which has the official list that we need. And then I will get around to upgrading the code to use the official time zone on the official list in the official language. Ta-da. So 7 years after it becomes a problem, it will be resolved.
But hey, at least you have a resolution.
We move at the speed of business.
Yeesh. So about the Illuminati, I think Elon Musk is in the Illuminati. And Elon Musk wants to go to Mars. And so for my topic, I am very curious about Mars because it's been in the news recently. And most recently, Mars rover Perseverance landed on Mars and is now taking samples and doing its thing and sending information back to Earth, which I admit I was kind of excited to learn about this, and I went down a YouTube wormhole a few nights ago and stayed up probably way later than I should have, just watching videos about the landing and all the details that went in behind it and how it all worked. Just for those who haven't been as nerdy about it as I have been, basically, 7 months ago, they shot a rocket off of Earth. It was cruising at like, I don't know, like it was like 12,000 football fields a second or something like that, some crazy speed. Gets to Mars, goes through the entry through Mars' atmosphere with a heat shield that's taking up all the heat as the friction increases. Once it gets through the atmosphere, it deploys a parachute and kicks off the heat shield, and then it uses cameras to locate where it is on Mars' surface to help guide it where it needs to go. And then from that parachute, it jettisons another rocket that then flies autonomously to where it needs to land. And then it drops down the rover on a rope or cables until it gets to the right spot. And then it drops off the rover, cuts the cables, and then the jetpack shoots away and crashes somewhere. And then the rover is free to go. And all of this had to happen autonomously because the lag from Mars to Earth is, I think, 12 minutes. And that whole process takes 7 minutes. So there could be no communication between Earth and the rover because of the time lag. So it just all had to be programmed and just run its program and land correctly. And it all went without a hitch, and it's landed and it's safe and it's doing its thing. And it was just kind of mind boggling. So I was curious of your guys' thoughts on that. And if you had any comments.
Teacher, I have a stupid question.
Yeah.
Didn't we already have one over there?
Yes. I don't think
now
it works
anymore. Now we got two of them.
I think there's more than two of them.
I say, isn't it like five?
There's a lot of them on there.
So you're saying the old one got too much Mars dust in it and doesn't work anymore?
Either they lose contact with it, or it's old technology. Like the new technology they're sending out, like now they can take color pictures on Mars, where the past was all black and white. They have microphones on it now, so now they can hear things. There's actually, this rover is going to land, and then it's going to drop behind it a drone, and that drone will take off and fly and record the rover as it moves and get a better picture of where it's at. And they'll communicate with each other, and then the drone will like crash or whatever. And then like it's really interesting.
These multi-million dollar disposable parts are the best.
Exactly.
I was going to say, did anything you looked up have a cost to this particular mission?
It probably did, but I did not look for the cost. So I don't even know how much it cost.
I am on the Wikipedia. Reduced.
I'm just saying, like, if you look at, you know, like a picture of a very famous painter or whatnot, and it sells for auction for $10 million, each picture that this rover sends back is like, oh, this picture is a $3 billion picture. Why? Well, because it costs us $3 billion to take it. I'm curious.
I mean, I imagine, I've not extensively researched this, but if I recall my prior study on space research that I had to do for a college debate, yes, that makes me an expert. Wonderful credential set that I have. Yeah, the mission is expensive in terms of it's a lot of money for one person, but that is amortized over a number of photos. I don't think they're going to take one photo and then the mission is done. I would hope not.
According to Wikipedia, the mission cost $2.8 billion over 10 years.
That's actually much less than I was anticipating.
2.8 billion, huh? I could have bought a lot of Cracker Jacks with that amount of money.
So that's what, also, like $8 per person?
Yeah, not that bad.
Per
American?
Yeah. I'm going to just have you guys double check my math here. 2.8 billion is 2,800 million, correct?
Maybe.
Sure. Good enough for
and
me.
So let's assume there are 330 million people in the United States. I think it's a little bit higher than that. But just as a ballpark. Well, 2,800 divided by 330 comes out to 8.484848484. So $8.50 if you want to round per person. That's not unreasonable. Yeah.
But not everyone pays taxes. So
not everybody pays taxes. I understand. I'm just saying in terms of the overall societal cost, that's not exactly an economy crippling amount of money.
Will they shutterfly me then my one picture that I paid my $8 for?
They're all in the public domain. You can just go get it yourself.
Yeah. No. I ain't about that. If I paid for it, you bring it to me.
Put that crap on an Amazon truck. Put it on my doorstep.
No, this will probably be interesting for right now. And then my question is, will there be another mission to build another rover with better pictures to spend another billions of dollars on? Or was this one be like,
yes,
okay, we came, we saw, we snapped some photos, cool times, got the t-shirt, and we didn't see anything that we were hoping to see?
Nope. So it's like in 2026 or 2036 or something like that, they're going to send another rover to Mars, because the one that's currently there, Perseverance, is taking samples. So it's got like this drill on it that will drill down into the rock, pull up a sample, and then like it'll scan it and send data back to Earth, and then it will encapsulate it and leave it on the Martian surface with, I don't know, a tracking beacon or something. And then another rover is going to go out there and actually pick them up, and that rover will have the ability to launch off of the Martian surface back to some vehicle that can then travel back to Earth, so we can actually get actual samples from Mars returned to Earth for inspection here. All, you know, robotically. There'd be no human involvement. It's all machines that are doing that and sending it back to Earth so we can do it.
My understanding is that there are other Mars-related missions that are ongoing or were, you know, launched around the same time as this. Have you followed any of those?
No, I just know that Elon Musk wants to like move to Mars or something. That's all I know.
Elon Musk wants a lot of things.
He does.
He can get most of them. He's rich.
He is the richest man in the world.
So here's my question. Why always Mars? Like, Mercury is closer, right?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
According to Google, Mercury is 71.365 million miles, and Mars is 131.
From Earth or from the Sun?
Temperature. These both say from Earth. I think it depends on where they're at in their orbit.
Well, the other thing is, I think there have been signs of water on Mars, and so the thought is if there's like frozen water, that could help us produce oxygen if we were there, and where I don't think there's anything in, like, one side of Mercury is blazing hot, the other side is freezing cold. I'm not sure if life could ever be sustained on Mercury.
Venus is about the same distance as Mars. It's also so hot on Venus, metals like lead would be puddles of melted liquid. So
that's yeah, cool. I don't think that would jive. I think it's also got like a gaseous surface to it. But anyway,
it does have a thick atmosphere of greenhouse carbon dioxide and clouds made of sulfuric acid. Not the greatest place for a human to be.
It's not, but I've heard some theories that it's more viable to colonize than Mars because it has more of an atmosphere, and you'd build the colony in the atmosphere, basically on what amounts to giant space dirigibles.
That sounds so easy.
Can the name of this episode please be Giant Space Dirigibles?
It is done.
Okay. Well, now that that's done, I think maybe it's time we move on to the next topic. And this is something new for us as far as a topic goes. It's called overrated, underrated, favorite, least favorite, in which we will go around and give our particular topic. In this one, we're going to start with pizza topping. What is our personally, what we one we think is overrated, one that is underrated, one that is our favorite, and one that is our least favorite? Does anybody have any questions as to how to answer this question?
So we're taking the category and we're each naming something and discussing it, and then at some point you'll move us to the next category.
Basically, yeah. So we'll go around, we'll all give our overrated pizza topping.
And then I'm so ready. Our
underrated. So if you are ready, by all means, Lucas, what is your overrated pizza topping?
Overrated pizza topping is sausage. It's not that good.
Pepperoni.
Ooh, pepperoni is overrated, huh? Brother Jacob, what do you have?
At first thought, I was thinking sausage, but, you know, changed my mind.
Ooh, can I change my answer to bacon? Because bacon on pizza just never works out.
Ooh, that's interesting. I was definitely leaning into the sausage category because, yes, I agree that it is kind of overrated. I've had just a straight sausage pizza and it wasn't honestly all that amazing. Now, when it comes to bacon, I can see where a lot of times bacon, well, you're talking pork bacon, not like Canadian bacon, which is essentially ham.
Yes, correct? I'm talking okay. Pork bacon. The crumbles are always so small, you don't even notice them. All they do is add grease to the pizza.
Interesting. Okay. I can see the argument for bacon. However, I love bacon so much, it's hard to say that bacon doesn't belong on anything that it wants to be on, because bacon is just that strong and powerful of a food. So I think I'm going to stay with sausage as well.
Can I change my overrated?
What you got?
I don't think it's sausage. I think it's the all meat pizza. The pepperoni, the bacon, the sausage, the Italian sausage. Like,
that's a whole pizza.
So disgusting.
We're talking just a topping, just individual topping.
That's why I said, can I change? And that's what I'm changing it to.
Well, you can't change it to an answer that doesn't fit the question.
It does have to be a valid answer if you're going to change it.
I want Jacob. The meat lovers is nasty.
All right. Let's move on to underrated. What is the underrated pizza topping?
I'm going to go out on. Yep. Pineapple. I know it's a controversial topic.
See, I think it's only a controversial topic because people do rate it highly and some people rate it lowly. So I think it's probably about where it's supposed to be, which is it can be great, it can be lousy, depending on who you are. So
it's very polarizing.
Yes, but I don't necessarily think it's underrated. It's only underrated by the people who don't like it, which is going to be true of any pizza topping. For me, underrated, I'm going to say basil. Have you ever had fresh basil on top of your pizza?
Well, if you're getting an American pizza from a pizza chain, it won't be on there. But if you get like pizza in Italy, basil is pretty normal.
I am not getting pizza in Italy.
Well, or if you go to a place that has like a caprese pizza or a margherita pizza, like a more traditional Italian pizza and not an Americanized version. But I agree, it is delicious.
I was saying, it's very underrated in my mind. Anybody else have an underrated pizza topping? All right. Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Did you just say pepperoni was overrated?
I did. These are not contradictory opinions.
Explain.
I knew I'd get you with this one. Okay, so here's the thing. It is my favorite pizza topping because I will have it on basically any pizza that I eat, unless I'm going to like Herbelli's. And it would not be the same without the pepperoni. But on the other hand, there are a lot of good toppings out there, and it seems like everybody's depiction of a pizza is always a pepperoni pizza. So while I think pepperoni is great, I feel like I have to put it as, by definition, overrated because it is the pizza topping.
Hmm. I'm not sure you've convinced me.
When have I ever convinced you of anything?
Okay, so Kevin is for pepperoni as his favorite. Lucas, Jacob, what do you guys have for your favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
I figured that was coming. Lucas?
I want to hear your answer first because I have a theory.
Oh, golly. As far as favorite, like, man, this is it. It is kind of hard to break away from pepperoni just because that's what I've always
had. I knew it. Okay. I'm also saying pepperoni. Here's my theory. I think, by and large, this isn't a blanket statement. There's going to be outliers, so don't at me. The four of us are not risk takers. We're not life on the edge kind of people. So, like, to have some, like, oh, I just love anchovies on pizza. No one else does, but it's my absolute favorite. Or, like, black olives or something. Oh, something weird. We are all so basic and safe and calculated that we just say, oh, I guess pizza, because or pepperoni, because it's just always the one that's on there.
In my defense.
We're so boring.
In my defense, I have had a desire to try more interesting pizzas. However, there is a pandemic, and I'm also on a diet. These two things in combination make it difficult to consume a lot of pizza. Now, I still manage, because cheat days. And there's a Little Caesars within walking distance. Oh, wait, I said pizza.
No, that's right.
I've consumed a lot of pizza-like food product.
Well, if you say it twice, does it mean it's not pizza?
I think
they cancel each other out. Yeah.
I think it's you have to say it twice to add up to pizza.
So you have to eat two of them to say you've eaten a pizza?
Yes.
And nobody can get through two of them. Therefore, nobody's ever actually had
pizza. Nobody's ever had pizza from Little Caesars. The logic is irrefutable. What if
I think I could get through two of them?
Are we talking like the full size hot and ready 555 large pepperoni pizzas?
You flip one upside down on top of the other, cheese to cheese.
Yes.
Man, that's like 5,000 calories.
I'm not saying I wouldn't regret it. I'm just saying if I could do it.
You could do it. You would regret it.
There's part of me that thinks I could do it.
But you never have. There are probably hundreds of people, thousands of people who think they could do it, but no one's done it.
Well, like, I mean, I've made one disappear and been like, how's the box empty already? Right? Like, if I can get through one, like, no sweat. I mean, I will sweat later. But at the time. The second one, like, I've never thought, like, do I think I could do that again, like, right now? And now that I'm thinking about it, there's times where I'm like, I think I could.
You may have to.
I can at least get very, very close.
You may have to evacuate the first one before consuming the second.
Well, that's not possible. That thing takes, like, 2 days to get through your system.
But when it's ready, it's ready.
No, I've thought about this. I'm like, why is, like... The Little Caesars pizza must be some sort of laxative or diuretic. Because yes, it does make you have to go, but it's obviously not the pizza that's gotten through your whole system. It just moves things along.
I hadn't considered that.
So basically it just kind of sends whatever was already there out the door pretty quick.
Yes.
But then hangs out for a couple of days.
Yep. It's like the bully. It's like the pizza bully. It's like you punks get out of here. This is my body now.
Okay, so if you have Little Caesars in back-to-back-to-back days, does, like, that third one send the first one out?
You'll probably be dead by then.
Is this really an experiment anybody wants to try? I don't think so.
At that point, you are become pizza, destroyer of stomach lining.
This is like the Iron Man version of Super Size Me.
Yeah, I was thinking about Super Size Me when he was going on about
for
that.
For science, I'm willing to try if somebody else buys the pizza.
And you get a bunch of money.
I mean,
off
I can hand you $20. No problem.
You're willing to try eating two pizzas in one sitting, or you're willing to try having Little Caesars pizza for 3 days straight?
Yes.
Okay.
You fund it, I'll do it. All right. Now that we've kind of strayed off topic, least favorite pizza topping, black olives.
White onions.
I'm going to have to go with onions, unfortunately.
Any kind of onion, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Here's
the whole pizza.
I don't
onion hate up in here.
I don't want to say it because there are times where I've had a Supreme and I'm like, man, that was really good. Everything just came together perfectly. But I eat so few kinds of pizza toppings that there's nothing else to go below it on the list. And there are times where I just don't want onion. Miss me.
That's very.
I'm not an onion fan in general unless they are cooked down to the point where they're so soft, like you don't notice them.
Like red onions are okay because I can pick them off. They do flavor the pizza, which I don't like, but the white onions flavor the pizza and they're camouflaged. You can't find them. And so you never get them all off the pizza because you inevitably have to pick them off. And then you miss one and then you take a bite and you're like, man, that's gross.
And woe betide you if you get a pizza from somewhere that puts cheese over the toppings.
Yeah. Yep. Which is the proper way to build a pizza.
I'm not saying it's not the proper way to build a pizza. I'm just saying if you want to pick toppings off, you're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the layer of cheese is so thick that you can peel back the whole skin of cheese and reveal the toppings to be able to remove them.
That good old cheese skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it in Papa John land.
All right, so we've hit overrated, underrated, favorite, least favorite for pizza toppings. Let's just say we have time for one more, and let's go to the dessert category. So same system, overrated, dessert.
I'm going to go with like flan and like custard desserts.
And like custard.
They're just kind of squidgy.
Apple
pie. Don't like my dessert to wiggle.
Ooh, apple pie up in the chat. Wow. See, I was just going to go categorically cake.
Cake has layers. Everybody likes cake.
I think I like the cake one.
I have a problem with the categorically cake because there are many different kinds of cakes. And you're saying all of them are overrated?
I'll say
cake as a dessert is overrated.
I will say sheet cake from like a sheet cake from Costco or Walmart or Meijer or just like random generic cake you get from that like people bring into the office for birthdays.
You know, like the graduation open house cake.
Yeah, the graduation open house. It's just bad cake.
Has anybody claimed it's good cake?
Well, no, but like everybody has it. And like not only does everybody provide it for whatever event we're talking about, everybody eats it, whatever we're talking about. And it's overrated. Man. It's not a great dessert.
Yeah, they get excited about it.
It's not, but what else are you going to get to feed that many people dessert at that price?
Popsicles.
I was saying, man, it's overrated. I do not, when I hear there's going to be cake or something, I don't get excited. It's so overrated. It's like, no, this is not the best dessert that's out there. This is not even close to a great dessert that's out there. It's overrated. It's overhyped. And
what if somebody said there was going to be German chocolate cake there?
Again, it's cake.
Okay.
It's very overrated for me.
Okay. Now I can see the point.
See, for me, I agree with the cake, but again, that subset of that kind of that generic bakery cake. Like there's some chocolate cakes that I've had that are absolutely delicious. I love them. Those are not overrated. Those are underrated.
And don't get me wrong. I don't hate cake. I ain't anti-cake. I'm just saying from overrated standpoint, cake doesn't offer a whole much. All right. Now this will be interesting. We have everybody's in on overrated, right? Kevin was apple pie. Lucas was flan. Jacob and I were cake. Yes. Underrated. What is your underrated dessert?
Pudding.
Pudding is good. Pudding is good.
Talking like a Jell-O instant pudding?
Pudding. A sweet pudding, not a savory pudding. Please don't serve me savory pudding for dessert ever.
What about the figgy pudding?
I don't think I've had figgy pudding. Maybe once. I don't remember.
All right. My underrated is going to be cheesecake.
Ooh.
Is that underrated?
I was waiting for someone to jump on me for having cake as overrated, but cheesecake is underrated.
No, no. So I will everyone gladly cheesecake. Put those right. in two different categories. I'm interested in why you think that's
whose man's
running up on cheesecake out here though.
Well, one, it's never offered like outside that's of very specific situations, it's right?
Expensive to.
That's like saying, man, creme brulee is super underrated. It's no duh. Nobody can afford it.
For the deliciousness that it is, and as well as you say expensive, it's not like astronomically expensive. Unless you're trying to do it for like, you know, a party of a thousand, right? But what I'm talking about is when it comes to dessert, and somebody says, hey, what do you want for dessert? You want cookies, cake, ice cream? Cheesecake is never on the list. And it should be, because it is... quite frankly, an amazing dessert that I believe is truly underrated and should be talked about and appreciated more.
Cheesecakes of all kind or only classic cheesecake? Are we including chocolate cheesecakes or turtle cheesecakes in this list?
In my mind, all cheesecake is good cheesecake. So,
dude, you get that marble one that's like half chocolate, half cheesecake?
Oh. Dude, yes, yes. So, you're making me so hungry right now.
I was recently at someone's house and they served a cream cheese Danish that was delectable.
Cream cheese Danish is good. Anybody else with a underrated?
Go ahead. I'm having a hard time with this one, just like Doughboy is, but I think maybe ice cream desserts. Like, I feel like the Mississippi mud pie is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. The mint chocolate chip ice cream dessert is amazing. Like, I enjoy a good ice cream dessert, but you don't have them that often.
True.
Yeah, I feel like desserts are so universally loved because everyone loves sugar that I can think of a lot of desserts that I like, but I feel like other people like them too.
Okay, then let's move on to favorite.
I got this one on lock. Tiramisu.
Mm.
So good. I'm going to make it someday. I haven't made homemade tiramisu yet, but if we go to Olive Garden on a date night, I always get tiramisu. It's my favorite dessert.
I think I'm probably going with mud pie, which is ice cream pie for those people who maybe don't know what we're talking about, but it's like a mocha ice cream Oreo crust whipped topping, almond sprinkled on top, kind of frozen, amazing deliciousness. Kevin, what is your favorite?
See, this is like asking which child is your favorite, right? It's like, well, I love all of them, but there is that one. So, I 2 years ago, I probably would have answered the, what's the trifle? The Black Forest trifle.
Ooh.
Right? Love it. However, there was one time, a couple years ago, my team went out to lunch, and we went to like some seafood restaurant, I think. I don't remember what the main course was. What I remember is that since the company was paying, I ordered the creme brulee, and that was amazing. This is like the greatest dessert I've ever had.
What made it so good? Please expound.
Well, what is creme brulee? Like, for those of you that have never had it and don't know.
It's a custard. It's a custard with caramelized sugar on top. And it also came with a couple of raspberries for like a garnish, but I ate those as well because I like raspberries. I suppose if you don't like custard, you're not going to like it. But the sugar on top was this nice crisp brownness of like this thin layer of like, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, if you put like shredded cheese in the microwave and you leave it in there for too long, it becomes like this crisp thin wafer. Imagine like that, except for the bit where it doesn't go stale 30 seconds later. And it's actually just crisp thin wafer of sugar instead of cheese.
It's kind of caramely too, right?
Yeah. And then you have the custard underneath and
goes back to your
not first enough to actually give an explanation of why I like the custard. I just know I really liked it. It was also like $15 or something silly like that.
But if the company's paying for it.
What's your favorite?
I feel like I haven't given this enough thought. There's probably some dessert out there that is more favorite than what I'm about to mention, but this one comes to mind, so I'll share it. The brownie marshmallow Rice Krispie peanut butter chocolate bars that we have. Those are so good that I eat them so fast that I rip up the top of my mouth with the Rice Krispies, which is bad, but it's delicious. And it's,
those are stupid good.
It's one of my recent favorites. We've had it the past few months and I've really, really enjoyed it.
I can't remember the last time I've actually had those. Wow. Wow. You bring me back some major memories, major food memory rush. Oh,
what goes into the chocolate sauce in that dessert?
I think it's, butter, peanut butter, chocolate, and Rice Krispies.
Because that dessert is really good. But there are times where I'm like, I wish this chocolate was better. And I'm wondering if there's something you could do to it to step it up one more level. Because that is a top-tier dessert.
Just get a better chocolate.
The brownie on the bottom is actually my favorite part. Like, all of it together is great, but the brownie is so good.
All right. Least favorite dessert.
Anything with almond.
Anything that's citrus. The lemon meringue pie? No thanks.
Ooh.
Kevin? I'm going to go categorically pastry pie. Rare exceptions, but over the entire pie spectrum, considering those, again, discount cookie crust, love those, fantastic. If it's a pastry crust, if it's got a fruit filling or a custard filling or citrus filling or whatever, I'm probably not going to like it. Actually, I'm going to like it. I'm not going to like it as much as the other kinds of desserts I could be having instead.
Hmm. See, there's part of me that said I should say cake, but honestly, there's a lot of cakes that I do really, really like. So least favorite part of it just says like cookie, because like I feel like cookies are like a snack food. They're not a dessert. So like if it's dessert time, it's like, here's a cookie. It's like, no, I want like a whole slice of pie or something like that. It's like, I just want cookies to be free range. Like cookies are an appetizer and an afternoon snack and a midnight snack. And for dessert, I want something more substantial than a cookie.
Cookies have too much love to be constrained to any one time of the meal.
Exactly. Yeah, that's only because I can't think of a dessert that I don't like. Like, I mean, you're not going to put something sweet in front of me and have me be like, no, this is my least favorite. I don't want it. So yeah, definitely a dessert guy.
So to continue the dessert trend, I was chatting with some folks recently. We were talking about like what ice cream offerings were near them geographically. And they didn't have a good like ice cream place nearby. They had a frozen yogurt place that they could go to. And we're like, ah, yeah, but that's not the same. And it got me thinking, what are the merits of ice cream versus gelato versus frozen yogurt? And if you guys have a favorite among those categories and why? Because there are distinct differences between them all.
Mm-hmm. So maybe give me some of the categories you're talking about. You're talking like ice cream that like you scoop out of a frozen thing in your
yep.
freezer, right?
Yep, like a store-bought, you right. go buy the Dean's or the Country Fresh and you mm-hmm. scoop it and you put it in a bowl, yep.
Okay, another category. Are you talking like ice cream sandwiches and like those type of ice cream box desserts as a separate category?
They could be. I mean, I will agree that ice cream in those is different from the ice cream you scoop out of a tub.
Okay.
I guess then, I was thinking not like coated or covered in something, like just eating the frozen product on its own.
Okay, fair enough. Is sherbet a category?
Yes, I think it has to be.
Okay. Then like soft serve ice cream as opposed to like a McDonald's ice cream cone mm-hmm. or something like that.
If you go to the Chinese buffet and get the soft serve, that is a different kind of ice cream.
Welcome to the Chinese buffet, not... where I'm going to eat my $10.99 worth of frozen ice cream.
Or yes.
So you have to have some of the entrees. No, I do not.
You know, the classic Chinese offering of soft serve ice cream.
Exactly.
I think they had that during the Ming Dynasty.
It's about as Chinese as anything else you're going to find in that restaurant. Let's be real. True.
The biscuit dough covered in sugar.
The Chinese donuts? Oh, yes.
Yes.
The pepperoni pizza.
Okay, then you're going froyo, right?
Yep, froyo is a category. Yogurt.
Then you're going gelato.
Which I don't think I've ever had gelato.
I don't think I have either, so
I've heard it's fantastic, but I don't know.
Point of clarification, is there a distinction between frozen yogurt and frozen custard?
Yeah, I think there is.
Okay, is there a distinction between gelato and sorbet?
I don't know. I can tell you that frozen custard is going to have egg in it, more accurately egg yolk, and frozen yogurt is, of course, going to be yogurt-based. I don't know the difference between sorbet and gelato and sherbet.
Because, like, isn't Culver's, like, actually, like, frozen custard?
Yes.
That is how they market it. I'm going to assume that it is at least custard under the hood. Otherwise, they would probably get sued.
Okay. All right, so now we know the categories. What is it you're asking us to do with these categories, Lucas?
What is your favorite among the categories and why? You could even give it like a top, like I can think of two that for me are above all the others.
Okay.
Frozen custard. Frozen custard, ice cream desserts. Y'all can figure this out on your own.
By ice cream desserts, you mean like ice cream sandwiches,
drumsticks,
Klondike bars.
Yep.
Oh, I haven't had a Klondike bar in so long.
I really want an ice cream sandwich. I've had a hankering for ice cream sandwiches, and there've been many times going through the grocery store recently. I thought, you know, if I just slip a box in there, maybe she won't see it on the receipt.
Or you get the ice cream on a stick covered in cookie crumbs.
Mm. Oh. We went to, this was maybe a month ago at this point. We went to Dairy Queen. And I got their ice cream sandwich because it sounded really good. The brown cookie part is crunchy. It's not soft on the dairy. What?
No.
It was awful. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I agree.
You can buy like in a convenience store frozen frozen ice cream sandwiches that have like a sugar cookie on either side and M&Ms. Not McDonald's. What is wrong with me tonight? You can buy an ice cream sandwich with a sugar cookie on either side of it that is topped with M&Ms.
Yikes.
Now we're talking.
It is incredibly low quality, but I love it. The sugar cookie is surprisingly good.
So I'm going to throw mine out here in the reasoning. Number one, frozen custard. I have never had a frozen dessert so smooth and so rich and so good. When I go to Culver's now, I just get a scoop of vanilla custard. I don't put any toppings on it. I don't mess around with the concrete mixers. Just like pure, smooth, delicious custard is all I want.
Mm.
And then the second being frozen yogurt, because you can get some fun and unique flavors that you don't get in ice cream.
So when you do frozen yogurt, though, I assume you're going to a Froyo place, right?
Yes.
How much are you topping that frozen yogurt?
I don't go crazy with the toppings. If they have those little boba balls that explode in your mouth, I'll get a bunch of those. But I kind of eat those separate from the yogurt just because they're fun.
Okay. When I get Froyo, like, there's no toppings. Because you're paying by weight, so you get as much Froyo as you can. And sure. Who needs, like, little mini chocolate chips? I can get those at home.
What category do milkshakes fall in? Are those ice cream desserts?
They're their own thing. I mean, because they're ice cream, right? It's just mixed with milk and other stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not even other stuff. Sometimes it's just milk and ice cream.
Thin ice cream.
But if you got Cool Whip or, you know, actual whipped cream or a can of whipped topping or maraschino cherry to throw on top of there, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where Alexander is on this, because he's asked a lot of clarifying questions. I feel like he's been building an answer.
Right. So I'm trying to decide if I'm thinking about this just as a category of the base, or if it's like where else I can go with it. So like if you take like the Dean's or the Country Fresh blocked ice cream that you scoop, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can get Moose Tracks and I can get Peanut Butter Cup and I can get, you know, Peppermint Stick and stuff. It's like those in my mind are so good. But if we're talking just like as far as the base of it goes, I'm not totally into the base of it as being the best. I'm with you on the frozen custard standpoint where you get this frozenness, but it's a bit stiffer than Froyo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just creamier than Froyo, like, you know, melted or starting to melt actual ice cream is. And so I do love the whole custard experience. It's just I don't have it hardly ever.
Oh gosh.
And I love ice cream sandwiches. Like, I do.
So are you not...
Well, why don't you marry an ice cream sandwich?
So let me get this straight. Are you saying you're not picking ice cream because Dean's chocolate ice cream exists?
I guess I'm not still lost. Ice cream, the base of ice cream of that frozen block is just not as appealing to me.
Here's
as
the thing.
Something that's already ready to like has the texture that you want. Yes. However, I can't get it here in my house. I have to go somewhere that actually has it. Whereas if I get the block, it's here. So it's like, boy, if I could have one, well, one is probably far more economical because I can get a big tub of ice cream. You know, like, I mean, you give me a big tub of Superman ice cream, I'm happy for days.
Golly.
But like, as far as like top end, I mean, custard's amazing, but boy, there are some great Froyo flavors. And then what you can add to those Froyo flavors is just next level. Absolutely next level. Like if you know what you're doing, if you're a pro at Froyo. Yeah, I'm probably still just in the custard camp. I think I'm just going to stay in the custard camp because it's still, as far as being the best, that's the best. Do I have it the most in every opportunity? No.
Here's my feeling. After you have had the frozen custard, the block of ice cream in your freezer that you scoop out is just too hard and too crystally.
That's because you let it freezer burn for 6 months.
Well, there is that.
So I feel like custard, we're basically just saying Culver's, right?
Well, yes. I'm sure there are other places that do frozen custard. I don't know where they are. I guess there's one here in town.
Have we covered Breyers on this podcast before?
How they're technically not ice cream. They are frozen
dairy dessert because mm-hmm. they do not meet the U.S. standards for what can be legally labeled ice cream. I mean, nobody was ever going to pick that as their favorite. I just wanted to make sure we got that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Pro tip,
so
never get briars.
Jake, did you have somewhere you were going with that?
I don't know of anywhere else to get custard, frozen custard, other than Culver's, at least here in where we live. And so, like, it's basically, do you like Culver's or do you like ice cream or do you like ice cream desserts or, you know, Froyo? Mm-hmm. I was just kind of boiling it down to its base form. For me, I think ice cream would be my preferred. Well, oof, ice cream sandwiches are pretty good too. I feel like the custard can be too rich. It is very good. It's very delicious. But you can't have quantity of it because you get a stomach ache. And usually you're having it at Culver's, which means you've already eaten a double Butterburger cheese deluxe with bacon on it and cheese curds and French fries. And then you're trying to put custard on top of that. And it always makes it fall flat. Maybe I need to go there more often just as a dessert and not, you know, just go there just for the frozen custard.
Maybe get a smaller meal.
I'll get you a Culver's gift card with the stipulation of you can only go buy custard with it as a dessert run.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. Lucas will buy me a Culver's gift card for just desserts. I will buy Alex a Little Caesars gift card so he can binge on Little Caesars pizza. Alexander will buy Kevin a gift card to whoever served that creme brulee, and then Kevin has to buy a gift card for Lucas to go get gelato or something.
Sounds fair.
What exactly is gained by this exchange of money?
We all get what we
want. So it's not really an exchange of money if all the gift cards are the same.
So we just all have to commit to go getting $20 of fast food?
Oh, I was getting you a $15 gift card. Oh, 20 bucks, what?
By getting $20 of fast food, do you mean a normal weekend for me?
Hey.
Sounds delicious. I'm actually getting really, really hungry right now. I feel bad.
What about ice cream sandwiches?
I want a Little Caesar's pizza right now, too.
No, you don't. Resist the urge.
No, I do.
I want it so bad and you can't stop me.